Well, when I was very young, I always wanted to be successful, accomplish things, and so I worked very hard, as most of you know, to study principles that would help me succeed. And a lot of that was driven by my background. And so sure enough, I worked real hard. I became, quote unquote, successful, which by my standards as a young kid was I made a lot of money. And I made this money, I was 19 years old, and I was earning at that time about $10,000 a month, which is a lot of money for most people, but definitely a lot of money for a 19-year-old kid, because you have no overhead, right? You know? So it's definitely a lot of money in that case, right? So I'm making all this money, I'm becoming so successful, like all these great things coming, and everything in my life was flowing. I was touching people's lives, I was doing what I loved. I felt like I was walking through life, living my purpose, doing what my spirituality really means, which is to contribute in a meaningful way. So I felt all these great feelings, so much so that it was not what I was used to, and I got outside my comfort zone, and so my brain started asking interesting questions like, how come I have all this already at 19? I got all these great friends, I have all these people I love and love me, I've got all this money, you know, I do what I love, I'm extremely successful, how come I got it at 19? You're supposed to wait till you're like 50 or 60 to get this kind of stuff, right? At least 45. So then my brain figured out, it's because I'm gonna die young. I swear to God, that's what I thought. And then I didn't just get the thought in my head, but I started obsessing about it. And I go tonight and I sleep. And I didn't think I was gonna die like easily, like real quick, bam, you know, truck take me out crossing the street. No, no. I was gonna waste away of cancer. And I would see these people, I had chemotherapy, and I'd look at them and thinking, I don't think I'd want the treatment. That looks worse than the death. You know, and I'd see some people I cared about who went through this process, and I watched them just waste away. And so I had these images so clear in my mind. And I would wake up in the middle of the night with cold sweats because I just knew I had all this now at this young age because I wasn't going to be here very long. And what changed me, what broke my pattern, if you focus on something long enough, what tends to happen? You tend to experience it. Fortunately for me, I didn't actually physically experience it, but a very, very close friend of mine, a lady friend of mine at the time, came to see me, and I was in this stress mode, and I was stressed about everything, even though I was succeeding. And she came up to me one day, and she goes, and she started to cry. I said, what's the matter? And she says, you know when people cry and they can't catch their breath? And I said, what is the matter? She says, this is my mother. This is my mother. I said, your mother what? She said, my mother has cancer. It's like, ooh, stay away from me. I mean, it's like, it scared the hell out of me. But at the same time, for most of my life, I've focused and built an identity in myself about I'm a person who can make a difference for anybody. So even then, I stepped forward. I said, hey, it's okay. And I want to break her pattern, help her out. You know, I said, it's okay. I said, look, hundreds of thousands of people have gotten cancer and beat it. I know we don't hear much about it, but it's a fact. I mean, listen, all we got to do, I'm into modeling, right? All we got to do is find people had cancer and got rid of it. Find out exactly what they do, find out what they did in common, and model that. If we model what most people do, we'll get what most people got, which is most people die of it. I said, listen, I'm a speed reader. I will go out, and I said, I'm going to find the answer for her. I don't care what it is. Don't you worry. And I swore to her I'd find the answer. So I said, I'm going to go out and read 30 books in 30 days, all in the year of nutrition, health, fitness, figure out what I could do to really understand what's going on in the body so I could help her. And I did. I read 30 books in 30 days, and at the end of 30 days, I was totally confused. I was, because you'd read one book here, and it was by this PhD, right? He had every credential in the world from Harvard. He says, do this and this and this, and you live forever. And then, of course, I read the next book, and it says, it's by a guy who's equally qualified, right? And he says, if you do that, that, and that, you'll be dead tomorrow. Do this and this and this, and you'll live forever. I remember at the time, these two books, later on, several weeks later on the news, these two men started suing each other, right, in the public forum, talking about how each one of them was dead wrong. So I'm just sitting here going. So after enough of this stuff, I finally said, you know what I got to do? Since there's so many people who have so many opinions who are equally qualified, what I got to do is I got to create for myself something as I'm synthesizing, pull the best from each of them. What makes common sense to me? Instead of saying, I'm not smart enough to figure this out, I got to give all this up to someone else who's an expert. I'm going to become an expert on the most important force I have that I carry my life through, my body. I'm not going to give that up to somebody else and hope they make the right choice. So I'm going to go with what's common sense, and then I'm going to take what's common sense, and I'm going to test it in my own body. And I'm going to help other people do the same. So sure enough, I started studying all these things, and I came across several books, and I went back to this woman who had the cancer, and I met her and got a chance to develop a relationship with her. And she had cancer the size of, like, baseballs, tumors on her shoulders and in her female organ. And it was pretty intense. And the doctor gave her 9 weeks to live. And he said he didn't really think surgery would do any good. But then he reevaluated, he talked to another doctor, and they said, well, she might live as much as 4 months, and that if they went in there and did surgery within 4 weeks, they might be able to do something. They might be able to slow it down. Maybe she could live 6 months or a year. And they all argued about how long she's going to live. Not that she was going to live, but if she would live within a year. But he didn't want to operate right away because she had some kind of infection or something like that involved with it as well, and he wanted to give her some medication to do that first before they went into the surgery. So I went to her and I said, listen, read this book. And I gave her a book called One Answer to Cancer, which wouldn't be the book that I would number one recommend today, but it talked about, it was this man who had cancer. He was told he had 4 weeks to live, and he completely eliminated all the tumors from his body. And he did it all without using any invasive drugs, no chemotherapy, nothing like that. And so he talked about exactly what he did, what his method was. And I said, listen, they say you're going to die, so you can just accept that, and maybe you still will. But I said, you know, if this guy did it, and this seems similar to some of the other things I read, why don't you at least try this? And then they gave her a second book, and that second book was by a man named James Allen called As a Man Thinketh, a book you should write down and go get. It's a little tiny book, but it's a classic. And basically what it says is what we already know, that as you think in your heart, so are you, so you become. As you think, so you become. Because I realized that you can't just take care of the physical side, the mental side of us affects our biochemistry as well, and have to do both. And I figured if we didn't change her mental side, she probably wouldn't make the shift.